Okay, we're wrapping up chapter 7, Perek Zayin. We're on top of page Pei Aleph. Yesterday we discussed how a person should convince himself that he is going to leave this world at one time, and therefore his love for this world should be decreased. So he'll be able to focus his love towards spirituality and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the exercise that we're meant to go through during our time of deep reflection is to go through the visualization process of seeing one's death, or knowing that one is about to die, rather, and what kind of decisions would you make in terms of the physical world if you knew you only had 30 days left. You wouldn't be overly involved in this physical world, and that's something that you should always be, never overly involved in this physical world. To that degree that you aren't, to that degree, the neshama is able to come out and you're able to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so we're on Pei Aleph. The next subcategory is called Zehirus Mitashum Schara Mitzvos Birchush Gashmi. And you have to be careful that you don't want to get paid back for your mitzvahs by having great physical wealth. So now it gives you another point to think about. There's another point, how to rip yourself away from being totally connected to this world. Adam Tzarech L'das, a person needs to know, Shekol Hanosh Hu Loika Mi'olam Hazeh, any pleasure that you, Lokeach, that you take from this world, Yitzarech L'shamalo, you have to pay for it. You have to pay for everything you get in this world. What does that mean? There is a concept, there's no such thing as a free lunch in spirituality. Yodea Bitui Shalmar Nagon Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Zatzal, is well known, the expression of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the great leader of the Musar movement. He says, Sha'olam Hazeh Hu Beis Malan Yoker Ma'od, that this world is a very expensive hotel. It's a very expensive hotel. Adam Olul Chalila, a person is liable, God forbid, La'aved Es Kol HaTorah Mitzvah Shalo, you can lose all your Torah mitzvahs, Al-Yedei Osen Hanol Shehunena Me'olam Hazeh, through those pleasures that he takes out from this world. In other words, no such thing as a free pleasure. There's a price you pay for everything, and it doesn't have to be a terrible price, but there's a price. There's always a price that you have to pay. And one of the prices is as follows. Now, the way it's meant to be is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a wonderful world and a beautiful world. So what's the price you got to pay? It's gratitude. That's the price you got to pay. It's called gratitude. Every day, you gotta thank Hashem. You gotta think of Him. Gotta love Him. All those things, and if you pay that way, then that's all. That's fine. That's good. And Hashem is glad to give you more. And you're not making use of this world, in and of itself. You know, it's just a means to get closer to Hashem. That's still a payment, but there's unlimited funds to pay for that if you pay that way. If you pay that way, it's no problem. You use this world and it brings you to Olam Haba and it's a wonderful thing. But there's other payments, such as Adam Tzarech Lefached, a person should be concerned. Shem es kol haschar ha'atzom ha'megiyo lo ala mitzvos, could be that the awesome reward that's coming to you for doing all the mitzvos, he is receiving it now in this world for bupkis, for such little things of very little value, because their whole value is of this world. In other words, you could do mitzvahs, but since there's no connection to Hashem, so God pays you back for all your mitzvahs in this world. And all the pleasures you have of this world is the payment for the mitzvahs that you have done. Hold on, just wait a minute. We'll take the question shortly. So let's understand this. So, Bebezin Shalmala, in the heavenly court, Mishalman L'chol Ish, we pay everybody back, Lefi Mahalalo, according to his praises. He's catching only half of the phrase from King Solomon, as we mentioned not long ago. King Solomon says, how are you able to tell the value of minerals, a chunk of mineral? How much gold does it have? How much silver does it have? you smelt it down till you have only the pure gold, the pure silver, then you can know how much it's worth. How do you know how much a person's worth? So it says, Ish lefi mahalo, everybody according to what he praises. What you praise, that's what you really want, that's what you really are, that's where you're holding. So in God's court, when they have to look and say, okay, what does this guy really want? What does he really want? He's done mitzvahs. Okay, I have to reward everybody for every good thing you do. You got to get rewarded. So the guy does certain mitzvahs. He gives tzedakah. He does this. But he really doesn't really think of Hashem. Doesn't really care about Hashem. Hashem has to give him a reward. So what does he care about? He's a big Leafs fan. So he really cares about it. So Hashem will give him season tickets to Leafs games. He gets very happy for that. He says, Mamish, that's what I was dreaming for all my life. So he has the Leafs tickets. And Hashem says, that's your reward. That's your reward. You're not interested in the Olam Haba stuff. So this is your reward. And this is what you want. And that's how it becomes an expensive hotel. Because you can imagine, a mitzvah could get you, you know, eternity in Olam Haba, which is an unbelievable thing. So, but you really don't want that. So now, what do you get? So this big, infinite reward, instead of that, you get what? You get season's tickets. You get a nice house. That's compared to the infinite, it's nothing. It's nothing. That's what makes this world an expensive hotel. Imagine you go to a hotel, you're going to spend a night at the Sheraton somewhere, not even the Sheraton, one of these fly-by-night hotels, right? Roadway Inn, I don't know, right? So the guy comes, has to pay for the night. So the guy says, okay, you got to pay. We only take cash. He looks, pulls in his pocket. All he has is $1 million bill. All he has is $1 million bill. He says, can you give me change? We don't give change. He has to pay $1 million to stay there for a night. It's a very expensive hotel. Right? In this world, every mitzvah is worth more than millions. More than millions in Olam Haba. But the guy's not interested in Olam Haba. So what does it go for? It goes for what he wants in this world. So that $1 million spiritual note that can be cashed in for eternity with full value, you get $1 million worth of schar in the world to come. You use it what? To pay for a nice house. So you get a nice house, you get a comfortable life. That's a big price to pay to enjoy this world. It's a big price. It's too big of a price to pay. And that's what can happen to people who aren't concerned about this connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So that's what you get. Imara mahalas ha'evel. If a person praises nothingness and narishkeit, right? He says, "Oh, I wish I could have a BMW, and I wish I can have this. I wish I can have that." And Hashem says, "Okay, I gotta give him something. He's not getting much in the world to come. So I gotta give him here." So if that's what you get, if that's what you praise, Mishan Lavavavu, you pay him back with Narishkeit. Umahalas Atov, but if a guy praises what is really good, then Mishan Lobatov, he gets paid with that good. A person says, I really want to be close to you, Hashem, that's what I value, that's what's important to me, and I'm doing everything so I can do what you want to connect me to you, then obviously what you do will get you that. We'll get you that. See, Marim Yodea, Shatov Amiti or Rabbi Yisrael, a person knows that the ultimate good is Hashem. Then the reward for his Torah mitzvahs is going to be the true spiritual reward. Dveikus v'kirvus Hashem, being connected to Hashem. But if he's, God forbid, tied into this world, and all he wants is the physical acquisitions of this world, God forbid, so you're liable to get the reward, which is possessions of this world. So that's the choice everybody makes. That's the choice everybody makes. So that's another reason for you to disdain the physical pleasures of this world in and of themselves as a goal unto themselves. Because that's gonna buy out your whole schar for Olam Haba. Now, you got a question? Okay. Go ahead. Speak up, please.
I had a situation where I went to look for a parking spot and I was about to a reward in this world from whoever, are you supposed to accept it, or are you supposed to say, no, no, thank you, and kind of decline, because you don't want to have a reward from this world. You'd rather have a reward from Olam Haba.
Okay, so you get somebody gives you a free parking ticket. Should you not accept it? Well, you win the lottery. Should you not accept the lottery if you win the lottery? It depends what you're going to do with it. It depends what you're going to do with it. I mean, obviously, whatever you get from Hashem. Right? Question is, what are you going to use with it? So if you're going to take the $1 million lottery and just buy yourself $1 million worth of clothes, then you shouldn't take it. You shouldn't take it. No, I'm just saying, it's what you use with what God gives you. That's what you have to decide if you should take it or not. If it's something that can be used to connect you to Hashem and you're focused on using it to connect you to Hashem, then you certainly should take it. So if Hashem caused you to win, whatever it is, Hashem is giving you things, and it's all a test. You win the $1 million lottery. So you say, okay, first I'm taking $100,000 and I'm giving it to tzedakah, number one. Number two, I'm gonna go back, you know, I'm gonna tell the schools now I can pay full tuition. Right? And you buy, and you get tutors for your children who are struggling in school. And you buy things that you need. I'm going to use this. You know, I never had a chance to really learn properly. I'm going to pay someone to tutor me a couple hours a week so I can learn Torah, right? Then, you know, if you're using this for good things, then by all means take it. And if you have debts, you can use it to pay off your debts. And if you win a little more, if you win a couple million, you want to put it away and live off the interest and learn Torah forever. That's a wonderful thing to do. Right? But if you're going to say, I got all this money now. Now I'm going to buy the fancy car. Now I'm going to buy the fancy house. Now I'm going to buy the fancy this, that, and everything else. Better don't take it. Especially if it's not connecting you to Hashem. Most likely it's not. Right? Then it's like anything in this world. What would you do if you won the lottery? What would you do? Just imagine. Right? You won $10 million. What would you do with $10 million? What would you do with it? So someone says, you know, first thing I'm doing, I'm buying a $2 million house. I'm buying a $2 million house, $100,000 car. All these things, is better don't take the money if that's all you're gonna do with it. If you're gonna say, you know, I'm gonna use this, you know, in a careful way, I'm gonna set up a whole charitable foundation with the money, with a good chunk of the money. And then I'm going to quit my job, and I'm gonna spend my life helping the community. I'm gonna spend my life living off the interest and looking for a son-in-law who wants to sit and learn Torah that I can support and those kinds of things. Then you should take the money. Right? It depends what you're going to do with it. So there is a concept from King Solomon, Sainim Atanas Yichya, the person who hates receiving presents will live, but that's when you're receiving presents from people, and that makes you beholden to people. If I take something from someone and now I owe him something, well, you don't want to take those kinds of things because, you know, the paybacks can be very painful. But if Hashem is giving you something and you're using it just for what Hashem wants you to use with it, then by all means take it. Okay? Question two? Okay. How do you like that? Okay. Rafal, you had a question? No? No? Okay. So now, in conclusion, Nimtza comes out. There's three reasons for a person to kind of give up on running after the pleasures of this world. Number one, Aleph. Minayin lo sheba emes yishar v'yodav kolos akirim. Number one, how do you know you're ever going to keep these things? How do you know these things are going to be with you forever? Ulay mocha yinutak man. Maybe tomorrow they're going to get lost. They're going to be taken away from you. You can spend all that effort to get something, and then you could lose it. So they're so temporal in nature. Why are you running after them? Beis. Im hu lo yinutak es asum. He doesn't sever himself from this world. God forbid God will separate you from them against your will, which will not be pleasant. Avalaz Yilaharba Yoser Kush be so much harder when God has to take it away from you. And three, Gimel, as kol schara Torah mitzvah shlohu olu labed avur eizah davar machal umaat kavod. And your whole reward of Torah mitzvahs that you should be getting the world to come, you're liable to lose it for what? For a good meal or relatively small pleasures? So it's not worth it. So for those reasons, it is a good thing to start saying, you know what? I'm not interested in this world anymore. I'm not interested, again, in and of itself, without its connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's just not, I'm not into it. That's it. And I use it for one thing, just for what Hashem wants me to use it. I'm not interested in any of the other advancements in the physical world. Okay, let's see. Kumim Shalvarim, to conclude this chapter. Chayev Adam Levar Lassos Emes. A person has to clarify for himself the real truth. And the real truth is, closest to Hashem is what you're in this world for. Lakacha says, "Kol Mashiach Shalavai." So take everything you have in your house. This is the exercise, part of the 6-hour activity. Take a look at everything you have in your house. Valeros, take a look at it. Imu Nitzrach Levavos. Do I really need it? Umashe Nitzrach, or do I really not need it? You know that the sports car that's sitting in the garage. You know that you take it for a spin in the summertime. You know you're paying $3,000 a year insurance on it. And all the other expenses to maintain these vintage sports cars. Take a look at it and say, do I need this? And what do I need? What don't I need? You know, you have to take a look. So you take a look in your house. You have lots of svarim in the bookcase. I need that. I need that to learn Torah. I'm going to keep that. But other things you have to really take a look. And you know, that expensive piece of, what do you call it? Forgot the word already. Those old things, antiques. That antique I have, you know, antique. It's a classic. Classic gashmis is antiques. Antiques are something of zero value. You just keep them because they're old, and you don't use them because they're antiques. Yeah, I never understand. Okay, you're talking a family heirloom. This is the Kiddush cup that my Zadie made Kiddush on, and my father. That's good. But these Narish, you know, this figurine of an elephant, of a giraffe, it's a Royal Dalton. What are you talking about? And how important that is? You think, what do you need it for? What do you need it for? You ran to Goodman's that's now out of business, right? You could pay $1,000 for this figurine of a giraffe. It's mamish. It made the house that look that what do you need this? Do you need this in your house? You know, pictures in your house of things that are totally of non-Jewish content and are expensive pictures. Do I need this? You go through the house, see what do you really need? What do you need? How is this going to take you to Olam Haba? How are you going to use this to get you to Olam Haba? That's all. Just go through the house. You look. So you look over here. Stenders. You need stenders to get your Olam Haba. You need svarim. You need tables. Everything in this room is what we need to get to Olam Haba. There's nothing extra. I don't think. Clock. You need a clock to see what time it is. Know when to start davening. You need the fans to cool you down in the winter, in the summertime, so you don't schwitz and can't concentrate on your davening. The window shades. You need everything is in this room. Is mamish is only getting you to Olam Haba. There's nothing extraneous in this room. So I got to look in your living room. Do you really need everything in the living room? So if you do, Baruch Hashem. But you got to really examine everything. Do we need this couch? Do we need this? Do we ever use it? Is it any worth, any value? You know, the maintenance for certain things. You know, the routine maintenance charges that are for life and things like that. Do you need it or not? Yeshem harbe niskakim shefsel lechalek lehem. Not exactly what this line means. There's certain things we think we need that maybe you don't need. So you got to think about your family members that they want to have it. Okay, so you got to, maybe you don't need it, but your wife needs it. You know, a lot of things I say, what do we need it for? My wife says, we need it. Okay, we need it. You say, we need it. We need it. I'm not going to argue. Certain things, the wife says, we need it. I said, what do we need it for? She says, we need it. Okay. So you got to take into consideration. Every decision has to be made with well thought out deliberation, by from calling in a general way. At anything you use, right? Ve'eino kidei shielo yishav adas elo goivel moseris. But if it's not but if it's something that's of an extraneous nature, you really don't need it. I don't know why we have it. We don't need it. It's an extra thing. Yeshanasas levatar love. You should try to let go of it. You don't need it. Avolo lehistalik v'lisha shmen rak v'chitzonios. But not just to superficially get rid of it and to be upset. Oh, the rabbi said, I have to look at it. Ugh. I have to get rid of this picture. I'm so unhappy. Elasos besimcha, do it with joy. Do it with joy because I got this narishkeit out of my life. I don't need it. You sell it, you get $1,000 for it, you give it to tzedakah, you buy a shas with it instead. Whatever. I don't have to go through this. You understand what I'm saying. You know, we could all have things ourselves. They're really, you could sell them. They do nothing to get you close to Hashem. Yeah. So what do you have it for? You know, these things when you go on trips, you know, and you go to these novelty shops, all they are is novelties. No, it's such a cute thing. Coffee table discussion things. Place, you know, you go to this foreign country and you bring back these things. You know, I'll give you a good example. You know those things that used to be only in Russia, right? Those little dolls in a doll. It's the biggest shtus in the world. What do you need it for? What do you need it for? I'm asking. How does that get you close to Kodesh Baruch Hu? You know, say it's cute. You know, it's a kunz. You know, you have the doll, you take the doll out, and there are dolls inside. Take that one, take that to get a little bit. So, you know, I could hear it. You know, I could give a drush out of that once. I give a drush to know that there's an inner core inside a person who's really there. The mamish neshama is so small from what we think. Okay, you got that, and I give it back. We got to hold on to it for. Okay, if you use it for a prop, if you give a talk to teenagers every year, and you're going to use it as a prop to teach people about what spirituality is, fine. But I don't think 99% of people do that. So it's sitting in your house, taking up space. So what do you need it for? For starvesis. He spent money on it too, because it's cute. So let's get rid of it. What do you need it for? It's like, what is it there for? You know, the Chavetz Chaim buy it. The Chavetz Chaim buy it. So what do you need it for? So you know, you were in Florida. Basically, I don't know where they even sell these things, right? And says, you know, such a souvenirs. Souvenirs, the biggest narishkeit in the world. You have to have a souvenir. Why? To remember the trip. What's to remember the trip? You know, you want to take a souvenir. Even taking pictures. Don't get me onto taking pictures, please. Don't get me onto this Irish guy. Taking pictures is even stupider. You know, it's crazy. It's an avodah zarah. You have to have pictures and pictures and pictures and pictures. You know, to look at it. It's pictures. It's, you know, well, how does it get you closer to Hashem? Here's 1,000 pictures of us in... You know,
sorry.
Yeah. Here's the stage shot at the Koisel. Okay. You know, I'm not going to tell people not to do it. I mean, you know, there's a lot worse things as well. But just answer me, how does it get you closer to Hashem? Tell me, how does it get you closer to Hashem? That's all I want to know. Tell me how it gets. Okay, you're going to take a picture of, what can I say? It's an unpopular thing. How does it get you close? It's cute. It's fun for the moment. How does it get you? Get thousands and thousands of pictures. How does it get you closer to Hashem? Tell me, how does it get you closer to Hashem? Well, I look at it and I remember that I had such a good time and I thank Hashem for good times. That's what you have a memory for. What you have a memory for. You have a memory. It's up here. I remember the good times Hashem gave me. I had to spend money on this to remember. What's really important, you'll never forget. What's really important, you'll never forget. I won't forget the first time I was at the Koisel. I don't need a picture. I remember exactly what it was. I remember exactly the scene. I'll never forget that scene. I remember my wedding. I remember being under the chuppah. I'll never forget it.
Did you take pictures?
I was young and foolish in those days. What can I tell you? I didn't want it. I didn't want it. We did not pay for an album. I don't have an album. And my in-laws don't have an album. The kids want to have them. Okay, you have to give in. They're kids. They're foolish. They don't know anything. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? The whole world spends tens and thousands of dollars a picture, so we spent $1,000. Bare bones. The cheapest one. You want to have an album? No. Make an album. Well, you're going to fight. You're going to fight with people. You can't fight, you know. You can't fight with people. But the Irons, I said, we don't want an album. I said, we don't want an album. The photographer threw in a little, here, you can keep it on, fine. An album. Spend money on an album? Like, what for? Okay, so we're not on the level. People aren't on the level. I appreciate people aren't on the level. I'm not going to give them shul and tell people not to have albums. I'm not going to say it in shul because nobody can understand it. Who understands that everything in this world you have to use only to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better? Okay, so yeah. Okay, so you're going to have, one picture, one wedding picture. So your kids should see what a frum parent looks like. Yeah. Should see what a frum, you know, you have these old pictures from the 1890s. You know, Grandpa Jones, right, with a long beard and this and that. So, you know, it's you should have one picture. One or two pictures to see you had a family, if it's what your family was, what your Zadie looked like. You know, it could have a picture here or there. That you should always, you know, one of a picture of a great tzaddik in your room. So whenever you think of speaking, you should have we got the Chavetz Chaim here. Good. There's a good reason to have the Chavetz Chaim over there. Because if I'm going to think of talk a lashon, I see the Chavetz Chaim, he's taking a look at me. I'm not going to talk lashon hara in front of the Chavetz Chaim. Right? The Chavetz Chaim's right here. I'm going to say lashon hara. A picture of my Rebbe is in my house. I'm going to do an Avera. Okay, there's a reason to have such a picture. It shows what I value. Okay, here. 1,000 pictures at a wedding. Here, this one of this one dancing, and this one of that one dancing. 20 pictures of dancing, 50 pictures of the same brother and sister. What's it for? Okay, you need one picture. Someone wants to call up for a shidduch for your kid. You want to know what it looks like? Okay, here's a picture. You can see what it looks like. Okay, want to see what it looks like? Okay. But the myriads of pictures of this, it's for stars. I mean, what do you need it for? How's it getting you close to Hashem? Okay, you can finagle and say, well, I'll make a picture, I'll give it to them, it'll be a chesed to them. Okay, maybe. But by and large, they're not necessary. They really aren't. Just tell me, how does it get you closer to Hashem? Okay, maybe, you know, you have a daughter, she's gonna move away to Australia, you're gonna miss her, you wanna take a look at the picture. Okay, so one picture, take a look at her. I don't wanna miss her. But I'm trying to understand, like 100 years ago, were people living deprived lives because they didn't have 1,000 pictures at their wedding? Nobody was ever happily married because they didn't take pictures at the wedding. It's an industry that was made, let me take the money out of your pocket, and I'm telling you how you must have this or you won't be happy. And if you don't spend $4,000 or $5,000 on the pictures, your wedding is nothing. It's nothing. You didn't have a wedding. It was not, and I want that to be something to make you unhappy at your wedding, and the photographer is gonna. How does it get you closer? How does it make greater simchas chasen and kalah? Spend 3 hours taking pictures on the holiest day of the year of your life, wasting going. Now this one over here. Now this one over here. Like this one, like that. Like there's a. Mom, it's your Yom Kippur. It's your Yom Kippur. You're spending it. How'd you like it if Yom Kippur, I'd come into the shul, get a Goyish photographer, say, we're in the middle, Mitch is doing Kol Nidre. Mitch, stop. Stop! Now, have a few tears come down. I want to get that picture, you know, and then a minute later, stop! You know, this. Have one holding the Torah with the rabbi, and like this, and like that. Do it through the whole Kol Nidre. I'm just saying, it's like, you know, do you need it? I'm just saying, do you need it? Okay, we can't legislate this. But no, there's a price you're paying. There's a price you're paying for this. And the price is the eternity of your neshama. That's the price you're paying. You want, okay, the kids want to have it and they're going to get upset and they're not on the level to understand. Okay, we'll buy you the cheapest one. Fine. What I could be doing with that money instead. Right? So okay, you have to look at each and but you should be happy you got rid of that antique. You know, what do these antiques do for you? I mean, all they do is cause you aggravation. First of all, you got to dust them once a week. You got to dust them. What do they do for you? You got to dust it once a week. And then when your little children are in the house, you got to make sure the Moishi don't touch it. Moishi, you're touching it. Don't touch it. And then if he breaks, you have a reason to scream at him. And to lose your temper. Right? You know, it took me, how expensive this was? What do you need it for? We have a house to look and not to touch. You know, it's ridiculous. So to get rid of it, and Shviva Simcha. But what I need it for? I cleaned the house out of this Narishkeit. That's what you should be doing. Hagon Rav Eliezer Dessler, that's all. Rav Dessler would say, Shnei Eila Yoishu Bebote Sar, people who are living in jail. Hare Misnaski Minyoza, they're not connected to this world, are they? I mean, at least in the jails in his day. Mamish Purushim, they're mamish, like monks. They're separated from all the pleasures of this world. So you'd figure every guy in jail would be a holy guy, right? He's separated from all the pleasures of this world. In the jails in his day, what do you got? Bread and water. That was it. A padded cell. You didn't go for exercise and get a university education now, you know, psychological treatments and televisions, everything they have now, right? No. In his days, a jail was a jail. So the question is, Kate said, Yitochan Eifo, Shabbat Esar Eidem Aleim B'Yehudim Bale Madregas Rechodesh. So why aren't jails filled with Jews who are filled with the divine presence? They should be the holiest people because they're separated from all the pleasures of this world. Why don't you? A Jew who's in jail should become like Moshe Rabbeinu. He's mamish. He's not connected to the physicality of this world. He should mamish be the big. Why don't we find that? So what's the answer? El Kachamar of Dessler. Haprishus lo hishpi alei ma'uma mishum sheprishus anasib al korcham. The abstinence has not influenced them at all spiritually because that abstinence was forced upon them. Forced abstinence is not going to make you a holier person. Haprishus shrichas lius mitoch simcha. Abstinence has to be out of joy. Mitoch hakora she chaval l'chalos as esmal avon. With a recognition, it's a waste of time to waste your time on narishkeit. Al oilem shelakayim, for a world that doesn't last. And you're happy. You're not fettered with another narishkeit in your world to have to look after. And that's the real simcha. Right? So that's what it's saying. You should take a look at your house and see what do you got that you really don't need? And that your wife will let you get rid of. You know? Or your husband will let you get rid of. You know? Stuff you have from the old days. You know, when you were in a different Gilgal. And things that you thought were of value and you still have to hold on to them. You don't have to hold on to it anymore. It's time you can let it go. Yazar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shizkor Kol Echad V'Echad L'Varas HaTov Min Ra. Hashem should help everybody to be able to clarify what's missing good and evil. L'Hafrish Zachomer Min HaRuach. And to separate that which is physical and mundane from that which is spiritual. U'Kishenafrid Zachomer Min HaRuach. And if you can make that separation, Nizkev Kfar Kan, then you will merit at this point, Boilam HaZeh, in this world. L'Bechinet beyond the level, as it says in Ecclesiastes, V'Ruach Tashuv Elokim Asher Nasna. The Spirit will return to Hashem, the one who gave it to you. It will return the way Hashem wants it to return. So this is a key idea of how we can get used to not wanting this falseness, the false parts of this world. But again, to emphasize, anything you need in this world, you're entitled to have, you should use it, you shouldn't feel bad about it. Like I say, you know, if you're doing a million carpools, you're entitled to a good car. You're entitled to a good car. Because Hashem has to give you a car that you can drive with it. You're doing mitzvahs. What are you going to get a car that breaks down every muntik and dunishtik? You know, the kids aren't going to get to school on time. You have to drive them to school. That's a mitzvah. So I need to have a car that gets it. I don't have to have a $100,000 car, but you have to have a car that works well, that runs well. And, you know, you replace it from time to time to make sure it's working properly. You don't have to feel bad at all. Okay, when you start getting to the leather seats, and the surround sound music, and the white wall tires. I don't know, that's old fashioned now. Whatever, I don't know. You know, there's the, where you have to have the LE edition, right? As opposed to the SE edition. You have to have the top of the line. Okay, that's different, but you shouldn't feel bad. You should have a house that you feel good. Everything in this house is just getting me to Olam Haba. Everything I'm looking around, I love it. I love it all because it gets me to Olam Haba. And you'll be a happier person for this. Your mommy should be so much happier for this. Okay. So now, Perikhes, we're just going to start into Perikhes, is when he's got us to this point that many of us feel around the ropes now. He always knows just about when you're ready to close the book and say, let's forget it. I can't do it. That's it. I can't do it. this stuff is for people that are unbelievable tzaddikim. I'm never going to be a tzaddik. I'm going to be a nice Jew, a good Jew, a fine Jew. But a person like this who lives with Hashem, with everything I do, it's just not me. I'm sorry. You know, I'd like to be this way. I really would like to be this way. I would love to be able to spend one whole night, Thursday night, thinking of Hashem. And I would love to spend an hour a day with this. And I would love to be able to look at the things in my house and get rid of them. But you know what? I wasn't born a tzaddik. And therefore, it's just not for me. So that's what this next parak is going to be devoted to. We'll call this parak, Believe in Yourself. That's what this parak is about. So we'll just get a running start. And tomorrow we'll really get into the meat of this. Parak Ches is called She'ifos. She'ifos means what you yearn for, what you long for, the things that make you tick. Aspirations. Aspirations. Gidrin Umahausen, a definition and the essence of understanding what this is. So the first subcategory is godless greatness. Tchilasa hishtadlus v'sofa matona. The beginning is effort, the end is a present. And this is really very appropriate to learn before Pesach, because this is really what you should be thinking about at the Seder night. This is an unbelievable, even though he doesn't talk about Pesach at all, but it's certainly what Pesach is all about. Marna Mashkiach, Rabbi Yecheskel Levenstein, the great Mashkiach in one of the European yeshivas, Rabbi Yecheskel Levenstein, Zatzal. Omer Pam Ba'achas Hashichos B'yeshiva. So one time he's giving a schmooze in the yeshiva to the Bachrim, and he says like this, She'ifa ha'amitis shel kol bachar yeshiva, that the deepest desire of every yeshiva bachar, shel kol ben aliyah, any bachar who wants to grow, tzricha lios latzis adam gadol, he wants to leave the yeshiva as a gadol, as a great person. You want to become a great person. That should be your yearnings, your longings. Pining to be a great person. That's how you should leave yeshiva, wanting to be a great person and becoming a great person. Ela shebederach klal, but in general, bachar rochuk mishiva zu. But bacharim usually don't have those yearnings. V'lama. So why? Says Rabbi Yecheskel. And okay, so we're not bacharim, but we should all yearn to be great. We should all have this passion and drive to want to be great. As Yidden. That's how everyone in this room can be a great Yid. Everyone in this room can be a great Yid. And we should strive for that. But why don't we?
But you define great in this particular instance. What's great? There are great people in this world.
Great? Okay, Sammy Polster should know the entire Shas before he takes his flight to the world to come. He should be a person who's not into the pettiness of lashon hara, not into the pettiness of the physicality of this world, always running to do chesed, always loving to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being a role model for others, a teacher of Torah to others. Everything we're learning in this book, the three pillars: Torah, avodah gemilas chesed, spending hours davening every day, hours doing chesed, hours learning Torah, teaching your grandchildren Torah. You know, inspiring them to go to the best schools, to learn to be the best people, to be quote unquote a holy people. It's great. Great people. You should yearn for that. You should want to have that. And you know why? And you could be that. Everybody here could be that. Everybody.
That they teach you in yeshiva?
They're supposed to. Supposed to teach you that. To be the greatest you could be. In terms of an Eved Lashem, everyone could be the greatest. But most people are very far away from those desires and those yearnings. Why? They don't even think about it. Why? So just start. This is what a person by nature thinks. Your average person. In every generation, there can only be so many great people. But I'm certainly not one of them. How many Chavetz Chaims are there in the generation? How many great rabbis? How many great Jewish philanthropists are there? There's a few in every generation, but I ain't one of them. Oh, there are certain people that were born in special homes. They were born to Rosh Hashivas. with special talents and abilities. He was born with a photographic memory. He's a genius. He's just got a heart of gold. Those are the ones who are going to be the great ones. No. This is what the Yetzer Hara is telling you. But me, who am I? That's what we say, who am I? Nunu. I was born with certain nature. If this passed by, you know, this like this, but by is kazeh, kazeh, and I'm born in this kind of house, this kind of situation. You know, God made me a child of Holocaust survivors. They weren't such great scholars. They were running to make a buck. And I was raised in such a home. No great rabbi started off from my house. Put the Chavetz Chaim in my house. See if he would have been a Chavetz Chaim. No way. Chavetz Chaim was born to holy parents. Okay, so he became the Chavetz Chaim. The Baal Shem Tov had a holy father. Who did I have for parents? Nothing. Right? So no go. Kulam hischilu b'ofeshana. They all started differently. They had a better family life, better everything. And you didn't have ideal outwardly situations. Or they had great inner souls. They were holy people in and of themselves. Right? That's what almost everybody thinks. He gives up hope of ever becoming a great person. Doesn't mean to say he doesn't want it all grow in spirituality. But already he lowers down the amount of drive that he expects of himself. And he puts a gvul, a boundary, as to how far he can go. He's not going to say, I don't want to be a spiritual person, but I'm happy being a spiritual, a 10 out of 100. Well, he should want to be 100 out of 100. We limit the expectations of ourselves. That's what the Mishnah says. What the Mashkiach said. Zutos is a mistake. Each and every individual can grow up to become a tall sequoia tree of spirituality. Each one of us in this room can be one of the great leaders of the generation. That's what Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein said. Everyone can grow up to be a great tzaddik. Why don't we? Because we don't think we can. We give these excuses. I wasn't born in such a home. I'm not so great. I wasn't born with a good head for Gemara. I wasn't born with this. I wasn't born with that. And you know what? I'll be a nice Orthodox Jew. And he says the biggest mistake is everybody should say, I'm going to be the biggest tzaddik. Now how and why and all this, stay tuned tomorrow where he says some very powerful words in terms of showing us how we're capable of achieving that. Okay.